Everybody doing good this morning? Man, it's so good to be back, and I just really appreciate Pastor Jan and, of course, Tammy and all the team and everybody just having back. This is my third time back, and so, wow. I'm glad somebody loves me. And it's just been awesome every time, and I've just appreciated being here. I say this every time, but I just remember the very first time that I ever came here, and I went to lunch with Pastor Jan, and he shared something with me that really revolutionized a lot of the ways that I really read the Scripture and the way that I really begin to think theologically. I don't know if he even remembers, but it's ingrained in my memory from that first meeting when he shared with me about the definition of the glory and what that meant, and that how that expresses through our lives and how that actually transforms people's lives. It's not something that we just absorb, but we reflect. And you know that scripture in 2 Corinthians 3 where it talks about, you know, how we begin to reflect the Lord's glory, which is what? It's His goodness. Amen. It's His love. It's His mercy to us. And as we begin to reflect that, that others are changed. And it says that then as we reflect it, we become from, or we go from glory to glory. In other words, the glory or the presence of God, the goodness of God in our lives begins to grow and expand because we share it. As we reflect it, it grows. It's that perpetual motion. You reflect, it grows. You reflect more. It grows more. It reflects more. And I love this because, you know, typically in most churches, we think the Scripture should say, and we all absorb the Lord's glory. Because that's really what we would probably prefer to do most of the time. And we tend to think that way. Well, it's just, I want it for me because it makes me feel good and it makes me enjoy the presence of God. But he said to reflect it, not to just absorb it. What does a reflect do? It's like a mirror. It hits it and then goes out. It hits it and goes out. And that's what we're supposed to do. And that's a 2-minute sermon on the thing that Pastor Jan shared with me that changed my life. So there you go. I want to share with you today something very, very quickly about new beginnings. Last Sunday was a powerful Sunday. It was a Sunday of new beginnings. It's when God showed up on earth in the form that we know Him now. As our Savior. As our Redeemer. And He made something new that day. Something changed when Jesus rose from the grave. The whole plan of salvation was changed forever. God is a God of new beginnings. Not only does He want those for our lives, but He has new beginnings. We'll share with you in just a moment about some of those things. But what I want to talk about this morning is what it is that seems to hold us back from moving forward in our lives. Well, the things that seem to kind of bind us down or capture us to keep us from moving forward in our lives, to keep us from reaching the potential that God has for us, that keeps us from reaching the level of life that God wants us to have. God wants us to enter into His story with Him. He wants us to be part of the story. He doesn't want us to be outside of the story looking in. He doesn't want us to just have some kind of revelation that there is a story. He wants us to be part of the story. We are part of what God is doing to bring the kingdom back to this earth. We are part of that story. And so, but too many of us, we don't remember that. We don't dwell on that enough. And so what happens is we allow things from our past, situations that we may be in right now, to keep us from reaching our potential and to keep us from getting involved in the story. Because we see ourselves as not worthy, or we see ourselves as missing the mark and failing, and so we don't see that we even have a place in the story. But we've got to change this. We've got to change this mentality. We're held back by our past. Is there anybody in this room besides me who had some junk in your past? Is there anybody in this place except me that has some stuff right now that you wouldn't mind at all getting rid of? Amen. We all do this. We all go through this. None of us are exempt. None of us are exempt. We all have things in our lives that we really wish we could deal with and get past. Even Paul said this, didn't he? Even Paul said, even though I know the right thing to do, I keep doing the wrong thing. I feel like that almost every day. And the things that I know I shouldn't do, I tend to keep doing them. What's the problem here? So we've got to figure out what it is that we can do to get past the past. I want to figure out how to get my behind in my past. I need to get over some things that's going on in my life. The things that hold you back, you know, we all have different things. A failure that maybe you've faced in your life that you're struggling with. Maybe it's a failure of a job. You know, you seem to put your self-worth, unfortunately, into things we do. Our self-worth really should be in who we are as a Christian, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, not in what we do. And when we put our self-worth in what we do, we'll always end up failing. Because the moment that that goes away, we see no reason for continuing on. So we've got to learn to put our self-worth in who we are as a believer, who we are as a Christian, who it is that God has made us to be. Right? So if we ever just get that little part of the story straight, it sure helps us. What do you do when you go and introduce yourself to someone? A doctor, a lawyer, a salesman. The first thing we do is what? Hi, what's your name? And what? What do you do? That's the first thing we want to know. What's your name? What do you do? How would it freak people out if you said, what's your name? And who are you? And then, well, I thought I just told you. No, you just told me your name. You didn't tell me who you are. That's way more important than what you do. Way more important. So this is the little things that can help us to kind of get past some of those things that try to hold us back. We need to stop letting the past hold us back. The past, I like to just, it's the land of suck. That's what the past is, all right? It sucks rotten eggs, all right? It is as bad as it gets, all right? So don't be stuck. Come on, say it with me. In the land of suck. That was a rhyme and I didn't even know it. Okay. Don't get stuck there. You can't move forward when you're stuck in the past. Look over at 1 Samuel 9:21. Listen, you're not the only one that's dealt with this stuff. 1 Samuel 9:21. And this is where Israel has been praying for a king. And so Saul has been, it's been decided by God and by the people that Saul would be the king of Israel. 1 Samuel 9:21, you can see real quickly that Saul wasn't totally convinced of this deal. It says this, 1 Samuel 9:21, Saul says this. He says, but I am not a Benjamite, but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans in the tribe of Benjamin? So why would you say that I should be the king? Saul is looking at his circumstances and saying, listen, not only am I from the smallest tribe, but I'm from the least family in the smallest tribe. Not only am I under the barrel, but I'm buried beneath the barrel. You must have the wrong person. So people deal with this throughout the ages. Since the dawning of history, people have dealt with their circumstances holding them in a place that they really don't have to be held to. And then what happens this is when we sense this and we want to do something about it, the first thing we do is we go externally. And we say, okay, I don't like the circumstances I'm in, so I'm going to change everything around me. I'm going to change jobs. Then I'm going to change churches. Then I'm going to change wives. People think this, don't they? Grass is greener on the other side. Then I'm gonna change kids. Then I'm gonna change cars. And if I change all of this stuff around me, that's obviously the things holding me back, I'll be able to reach my potential. But the problem with that is there's only one common denominator between your work, your church, your wife, your car, your kids. There's only one thing that those things have in common. And what are they? You. The only thing that needs to be changed here is you. But that's not something you can do externally. This is something that you have to get on the inside and get messy. It's ugly in there. You're going to have to get in there and get your hands dirty and figure out what it is that's stopping you from reaching your potential. And that's probably not going to be a very fun process. Because I don't necessarily want to face all the failures I have. I'd rather think I'm a lot nicer person than I really am. So it's going to be a messy thing when you start doing it. God even has this concept of newness. His word says this. It says that His mercies are what? It's what? His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is new to us. His love is new to us. His compassion is new to us. God understands the concept of new. Revelation 21. Look over there with me. Revelation 21. Listen to what John saw. He said, then I saw a new heaven. And a what? A new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with who? It is with men. And He will live with them. They will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. Even God gets this concept of new. He said that when we're born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, says that when you're born again, you are made a new, what? You know what that means? It's a new kind of human. You're a new kind of human when you're born again. Something changes. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. The concept of baptism to me has always been of going under one way, coming up another. A new life. A new creation. I've got to tell you all this story. Last Sunday, we had baptism at our church. And so we had several people being baptized. And so right toward the end, Our pastor sits here. By the way, Mark Gunger, the guy that you saw there, you definitely do not want to miss one of the, that's my pastor's brother. And so he's been to our church several times. And let me tell you, you better take something because you're going to be crying, laughing so hard. All right? So you definitely want to go see this. But anyway, so Pastor Ed is sitting on the front row there. And all of a sudden I look down and there's a gentleman on his knees right here. And so he's sitting there. And then all of a sudden when we finish, Pastor Ed jumps up, grabs a microphone. And he said, "Hey guys, we got one more baptism." He said, "This guy's a visitor. He just got saved about 6 months ago. He's never been able to be baptized yet. And he saw we're having baptism and he wants to be baptized." And so Pastor Ed was like, "Okay, cool, you know, so hop on up there." So he goes running up to the platform. He don't have no clothes. So he's kicking off his shoes. He pulls off his shirt. And it wasn't a pretty sight, by the way. He pulls off his shirt and Pastor Ed grabs the mic. He said, "Now you are going to stop right there, aren't you?" So I tell you, the funniest thing is when he's down in the baptismal, all you can see is from here up. He's like, "Oh, Lord." So Pastor Andrew, our pastor who was baptizing everybody, he said, "I do want everybody to know he did keep his pants on, you know." But this guy had a concept. He had been born again. He had been made a new human, a new creation. And he wanted to take this thing a little bit further. Let me tell you, it was kind of chaotic and funny at first. But when he came out of that water, he was crying like a baby. Crying like a baby. It meant so much to him. It just solidified some things in his life. It was powerful. It was powerful. So anyway, I thought you would just don't do that here, okay? Listen to this statement. Write this down. Good people fail. Bad things happen to good people. Anybody here can explain that? We've got a couple of little things we could say about it, but to be honest with you, when you really dig into it, I don't get it. I don't get it. Bad things happen to good people. But great people turn their failures into a success. Good people fail, but great people turn their failures into a success. You see, Satan is not afraid of who you are. He's afraid of what you can become. That's what he's afraid of. If he can knock you down and keep you out, you're no threat. But the moment a great person stands up and says, "Yes, I failed, but I'm going to take that and I'm going to turn it for good, because I believe God's going to take it and turn it for good. And I'm going to walk out of this thing and step above these circumstances and become a success." That's when Satan's afraid. Because you can cause some major havoc. Some major havoc in his world when you start doing that. Good people fail. But great people fail and then get up again and become a success. There's a couple of stories. You could read these on the internet, and I didn't bring them with me. But one of the stories is about Thomas Edison, when he invented the incandescent light bulb. And they went to him to interview him and ask him. He said, "Sir, how did it feel to fail 2,000 times when creating this incandescent light bulb?" And he looked at the reporter and said, "I didn't fail 2,000 times. I just found 2,000 ways it didn't work." It's all about your perspective, isn't it? Abraham Lincoln, if you read the story of Abraham Lincoln, if there's anybody who couldn't have made it, it would have been him. He went into business with partners and went broke. He ran for the Senate and lost. He ran for the Congress and lost. He lost all kinds of things. First time he ran for presidency, he lost. Then he runs for presidency again, he wins, and then he gets shot. But he's one of the greatest presidents that ever graced our country. the story of Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley was told at 8 years old that he couldn't join the children's choir because he was tone deaf. Boy, wouldn't you hate to be that choir director? You know, there's stories like this all the time. Stories like this. Listen, I was in a situation in my life just like the rest of you were. I'm telling you, I was knocked out. I was knocked down. I was trampled on. I didn't see any way to get out of where I was at. Physically, I was exhausted. Mentally, completely shot. But one day, I finally had to decide that there was something had to be done about this situation. In the backyard of my house, when I was pacing back and forth, and I was finally just trying to convince myself that obviously God has left. God is not here. Because that's the only way I could figure out why I was in the situation I was in. But it was in that desperate moment that God spoke and said, "Now I can finally help you. Now I can do something." You see, because you finally reach the place where you know you can't do anything. And from that moment on, when healing started to come. Now, I'm not going to tell you it happened overnight, but I will tell you it happened. And the reason it happened is because we kept going. You kept working. You didn't stop. What I love about the newness of God is that the new not only just changes you, but it pulls you out of the old. All the old things pass away. And all things are now become new. So it's not like you still are attached to all the old stuff. Everything's changed now. It's somebody's cut that thing off, man. And the only people that are holding on to it are you. We are the only ones trying to hold on to everything we had back here. All those negative things, all those things that caused us to feel like a failure, all of those things that held us back, those are the things we have to cut off and move forward. But then take this to a larger level, because when I said this, you're created a new creation. You're a new kind of human. But you see, what's great about God's story is that His newness doesn't end with us. It's not just we become a new creature and that's the end of the story. You see, because God has a greater plan. Because God's real vision is to create the new heaven, the new earth. And He wants us to be part of that story in bringing that kingdom to this place. You see, what's unique is that when you begin to read what, you know, this message of escapism, the theology of escapism, which is this, it's, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, so you can hurry up and rescue us out of this horrible world so we can get over it. Okay? This message of escapism, the thought of God's just going to come get us out of here because this place is horrendous, okay, really hasn't been around but just a couple of hundred years. If you really dig into the story, I hate to disappoint us, but what actually happens is, yes, we get raptured, and then guess where we end up? Where do we end up? Right back here. It's just a new place. It's a new creation. It's a new heaven. It's a new earth. When Christ said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth. As it is in heaven. You see, God's got a bigger plan. God's got a greater story. And He wants us to be part of that story. Eventually, His newness is going to take over the planet. It's all going to be new again. He's going to restore it back to Himself the way He intended for it to be. But until that day comes, I'm still going to praise Him. There'll be an end to all of these troubles. But until that day comes, I'm still going to praise Him. I'm going to continue to praise Him. And I'm going to decide to live in the middle of His story. I want to be part of His story. You want to be a success? Forget about your past story and jump into the middle of His. Because that's where you're going to find your self-worth. That's where you're going to find the importance in your life. Is when you begin to see things from God's perspective. And you jump in the middle of what He's trying to accomplish here. Amen. That's when you arrive.
Amen.
That's when you arrive. Everybody stand up.
Hallelujah.
Tammy, would you come to the piano with me? Now, this is no secret. I don't have to have God to speak to me in a vision to tell me that there are people here that struggle with holding on to things in their past that are stopping them from reaching their potential. That doesn't take a genius to figure that out, does it? But what I want you to know is this. Is only when you find out about the bigger picture. Only when you discover the story of the bigger picture will you really grasp what your potential really is. Will you ever really grasp what the story is about and how you play a part in the story? And so maybe there are people here that you're not part of this story yet. Maybe you've never accepted Christ into your life. Maybe you're not a Christ follower and you don't really understand the story. But one thing you do know for sure is that things in your past definitely keep you from reaching potential that you know and that you wish you had. And so the real answer here is, it's not about what can I do externally to change my position and to change where it is that I'm headed. The answer to this is I need something to happen internally to reveal God's story to me. And the way that we do that is we ask Christ to come into our heart. We believe that a God we can't see, that we can't touch. You want to talk about a radical religion? It's called Christianity. We believe in a God that we can't see. Then we believe that He sent His Son from heaven through a virgin, Mary, who lived His life, was called into the ministry, and then died on the cross, and then get this one. He rose from the dead. Now, if that's not radical, I don't know what radical is. And to top all that at, we think that He actually was ascended into heaven. And now He sits at the right hand of His Father, God, making intercession for us. We believe that.
Amen.
And we actually believe that when you ask Him into your heart, that He comes and that He dwells in your heart. And then to top it all off, just if that wasn't radical enough, we're a bunch of crazy people. Think about how crazy that story is. That's ludicrous in most people's minds. But in our hearts, we know. We know it's real. We know it's real. How do we know it? Because we've become a new kind of human. We're not the same that we were. And if you haven't experienced that, this can be your day. Because it's free. The whole story. It's free. Now, it didn't come without a price. But Christ is the one who paid the price so you didn't have to. And so with every head just bowed for a moment, if there's anyone here today that you've never accepted Christ into your life, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You don't know for sure that what's going to happen when you die. You don't know for sure what's going to happen. Well, you need to know for sure. And so I want to ask you, if you have never accepted Christ into your life, I'd like for you just quickly, if you'll just raise your hand. Raise your hand for me. Anyone? Anyone? All right, praise God. Everybody's born again in here. Let me ask you to say this prayer with me then. Because I want you to get a grasp of who you are in Christ and how your story fits into God's bigger picture. You have a part to play in this story. So if you've been holding on to some things that you know you need to let go of, and I think we could all benefit from this prayer. So everybody just pray this prayer after me, if you would. Dear Father, we come to you today believing that you believe in us. That you believe in us. I want you to say this with me. Lord, I know that you believe in me. That's a hard thing to say, isn't it? Say it again. Lord, I know that you believe in me. Say it one more time. Lord, I know you believe in me. You need to say that as many times a day as you possibly can. You're going to have to convince yourself of that sometimes. So continue saying this prayer after me. So Lord, I ask you to come. I ask you to come and be Lord over every area of my life. Lord, I surrender my past, my present, and my future to you. Lord, I want to be part of your story. I don't want to be an observer. I want to be a participant. So Lord, I ask you now to help me to realize that I am a new kind of human. I am a new creature in Christ. And I separate myself from the things of my past that are holding me back. And I move forward into a new life with you. In Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you believe that, give God praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Amen. Praise God. Well, be seated. Pastor Jen, thank you so much. I just want you to know that we do have some of our products out on the table. We have a brand new CD out there that we have available, and the ladies, you're out there to help you with that. I want to let you know, and you'll be hearing more about this because I'll be talking to Pastor Jan and some of your others about this. But back in about 6 months ago, we were over in Mexico and doing some work there. We recorded a new Spanish live praise and worship CD there. And while we were there, God really birthed something in our lives, birthed something in our heart, an organization to help churches in third world countries, helping them to be able to have the materials, to have the equipment, to have the things that they need in order to really fatten their worship experience, to be able to bring a new level of worship experience into their communities. Many of the churches obviously have no funds whatsoever to purchase things like sound systems, like instruments, like just the simple necessities for a guitar player, which is guitar strings. Simple necessity for a drummer, which is drumsticks. When I was at the church in Mexico, I saw this young man out in the courtyard there. When we came back in to do the conference, this gentleman came up to the drums, and I realized he had been outside carving drumsticks because he couldn't afford them. And even if he could have afforded them, the closest town was 6 hours away. Had no way of getting supplies. And that blew my mind. I can't imagine living in a place where my dreams and my goals and my passions can't be developed because I simply don't have access to the things I need. And so God birthed this in our heart. It's growing. It's building. We have our team put together. We're putting our business plan together right now. This thing is happening and it's going to go all over the world, we believe. We're going to go into the Latin, in the Spanish-speaking countries first, and then we're going others. And I just ask you to pray for that. It's an organization called Sticks and Strings International. And we just believe it's going to do great things for the kingdom of God. So bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor.
Dear Father, I thank you so much for being in our presence here today and your wonderful people. Now as we close this service, Father, at the end, if anybody needs to come up for prayer, for salvation, Father, we will be here for them. Father, we will minister to them and place them into the body of Christ in a unique and wonderful way. I thank you, Father, for our altar ministers that are available. And so if you're here today, let the Lord touch your heart and respond. At the end of the service, feel free to come up and we will pray with you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you're free to go. God bless you.